Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of the Kingborough Council on Monday the 21st of June 2021. I declare the meeting open and advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. So in accordance with council's policy, I request confirmation that the audio recording has commenced. Confirmed. Thank you, General Manager. Welcome to those in the public gallery and to those listening at home. In attendance tonight we have Councillor Sue Bastone, Councillor Gideon Cordova, Councillor Flora Fox, Councillor David Grace, Councillor Amanda Midgley, Councillor Christian Street, Councillor Steve Wass and Councillor Paula Reet and myself, Councillor Westwood. We have no apologies from councillors this evening. Our staff in attendance tonight, we have the General Manager, Mr. Gary Arnold, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. John Breen, our Director of Engineering Services, Mr. David Reeve, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, Director of Environment, Development and Community, Dr. Katrina Stevenson, Manager of Development Services, Ms. Tasha Tyler-Moore, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Sam Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. Confirmation of minutes. Do I have someone to confirm the minutes of the open session of Council on the 7th of June and the special Council meeting on the 15th of June as a true and correct record?
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone. We have had no workshops held since the last... All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against? The minutes are confirmed. No workshops held since the last council meeting. Does any councillor have, in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, a conflict of interest that they would like to declare in relation to tonight's meeting? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I have a conflict of interest in regards to the naming proposal for the Lightwood Park naming rights. I did speak with Mr. Brian Downs, and my children are also members of the soccer club.
I should probably therefore declare that my children are also a member of the Kingborough Lions soccer club. Councillor Wass.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor. Also a past board member, a member of the Kingborough Lions.
Thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Are there any items tonight that a councillor would like to transfer from open to closed session? No. And with that, we move to questions without notice from the public. Is there anyone in our public gallery tonight who would like to ask a question? And we have received none that I'm aware of in advance from anyone listening at home. So we'll move to questions on notice from the public. Development of Margate, a question by Mr. Adrian Newbold with an officer's response on page 2. A question from Mr. David Bain about a walking track at Spring Farm with an officer's response on page 3. Questions without notice from councillors. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. My first question is about an ambulance station for the Channel. And it's come to my attention that the Australian Paramedics Association has asked for additional staffing at Kingston to allow for 4 crews a day and also for an additional ambulance station in the Channel. So my question is, do we know if the undeveloped area on Channel Highway, Margate, has been in consideration for a new ambulance station? And what role does Council have to lobby for more ambulance stations in the Channel?
Well, I'll answer the second part of the question first. Council is not responsible for the provision of ambulances. That's a state government responsibility, but we certainly have a role of advocacy on behalf of the community. And I might hand to who's best placed to answer. General Manager, the first part of the question.
Yeah, through you, Acting Mayor. I'm not aware of any
discussions regarding any particular parcel of land in Margate in relation to an ambulance station. Thank you. My next question is about it's about fish farms that operate in the water off our municipal coastline. Has our council ever requested that the state government legislate to make fish farms rateable entities for their on-water operations so that fish farms can start to pay their fair share just like the other businesses that operate in Kingborough?
Thank you, General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the short answer Councillor Gideon Cordova is no. Your question basically relates to area of water that is beyond the remit of the local government. Thank you. And so to the extent that there's a lot of damage being caused to Kingborough's coastlines as a result of the rapid expansion of finfish farming in Kingborough's waterways or waterways that are near Kingborough, to what extent has our council mitigated that damage and what are some of the projects that we undertake in order to mitigate that damage?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Previously, this council has attended the finfish inquiry that was attended by the then mayor and myself on behalf of council in relation to the mitigation of effects. Councillors would be aware that every year when council set the budget, there are always items in relation to coastal erosion, but those discussions at in a budget context don't necessarily take into account how the erosion has been caused or the damage to any of the 330 plus kilometres of coastline in this municipality. Thank you. And a final question through you, Acting Mayor, is do we have any estimation of what that ongoing cost is to the council to do coastal remediation works that may or may not be as a direct result of erosion damage caused by finfish farming?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor, I'd have to take that question on notice, Councillor Cordova. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'm not sure who my question is to. As Crescent Drive is the end or the beginning of the Snug to Margate shared pathway, could we either have a change of speed limit sign or speed humps within Crescent Drive? Cyclists are speeding down from Margate, as the cars are also, and the road is narrow with no footpath of any kind, and there have been several near misses of people who are walking. So I'm wondering if we could please have the speed limit changed or speed humps put in there.
I might have to take that one on notice.
Yeah, I think so. And I have a question that I would like to ask in closed session.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Reet.
I think Councillor Grace had his last
question. Oh, sorry, Councillor. Councillor Grace.
Regarding fish farming, Madam Chair, our Deputy Mayor, we have Councillor Fox and myself, I think many councillors, we've raised several questions about fish farming in our municipality, but we have no jurisdictions over them, we're told, which is a great pity because they do compact on our beachfronts.
And what's your question, sorry, Councillor Grace?
Well, I'm just raising that maybe that the General Manager may go back through some of our records.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
Where we have raised several questions. My second
question?
We talk about Women's Week, we talk about Men's Week, we talk about all sorts of things. But does this council believe in cancer, breast cancer. My question is, do we really strongly believe in breast cancer for women in this municipality?
Yes, we do, Councillor Grace.
Well, my second question is, why, and I'll continue to, why, even though we're told that the bus shelter at Snug is still not council's, yet we were allowed to paint it pink in honour of the Glenn McGrath Foundation, which I have proven evidence.
And what's the question, Councillor Grace, please?
My question is, Acting Mayor, has this council, do they support breast cancer?
Yes, we do support breast cancer. It's experienced by many women in our community, Councillor Grace.
Well,
next question.
My next question is to you. Snug Park, Snug Park had a fantastic crowd of people Sunday there with the young athletics, footballers and so forth and so forth. And that down in that Snug area is appalling. The condition of around the park is absolutely appalling. So my question will be, and I know you're trying to get in ahead of me, but please give
me
a little bit of time.
Yep.
When will council come back with a report on how and when we're going to upgrade that magnificent park down there?
You're referring to the Snug Park down near the oval?
The oval itself and around the park, yes.
So there is a new park there?
Madam Chair, I'm aware of that. I'm talking about the football ground, etc., etc., which we include in the park, do we or not?
So your question is, when will we be upgrading the football oval?
When will we be getting a report to council? Because I've raised the question before about the condition down there. So I guess, Madam Chair, we need a report on the drainage and...
So your question is, when will we be getting a report on the Snug Oval?
That will do, thank you.
Mr. Smee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's an allocation in the budget for next financial year which is to do an assessment on the impact of inundation on that oval. Before we go and invest money in further infrastructure, we need to know the lifespan of the oval, and there is, as I say, some money to engage a consultant to do that work. The stakeholders at the Oval are all well aware of the need to do this work before we go and build infrastructure, and they are supportive of that. So it will be over the next 12 months that that work is undertaken, and we will bring a report to Council accordingly.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I have a number of questions. The first one is in relation to the work that is being done at Kingston Beach on Beach Road on the upgrade of the footpath, which is terrific to see that occurring. I'm aware that there was an incident there on the 7th of June where a resident who had come out of the Salty Dog tripped over a sign that had been placed by the contractors. And I'm led to believe that there had been several other people who had drawn attention to the sign, that it was not clearly marked. The sign itself was reflective, but its legs came out across the footpath and at night couldn't be seen because there was no reflective tape on them, which is how this accident occurred. I'm wondering what discussions have taken place both with the person who reported it after they fell over, but also what has been put in place to ensure that it is now clearly marked so that the same thing doesn't occur.
We'll take that on notice.
Thank you. My next question is in relation to the Environmental Management and Pollution Control smoke regulations. This one, I imagine, we'll have to take on notice for our compliance section. I'm just wondering whether Council has received, since these regulations came into
existence in 2019, whether we have actually had any complaints made in relation to people breaching those regulations by having smoke visible for a continuous 10-minute period after lighting their indoor fires. Obviously, it's an issue coming into winter, but I'm curious as to whether there have been any complaints made by the public in the last 2 years, and if so, what the outcome of those complaints were.
Thank you. We'll take that on notice.
Thank you. My next question is in relation to, I understand that there was, Taswater notified council that there was a sewer overflow in the Browns River area in the last few days, and there is a sign there that's been placed by Kingborough Council saying this area may not be suitable for recreational use. I'm just wanting to ask two questions in relation to that. Are we aware at this stage whether that overflow has impacted on the quality of water in Browns River? And secondly, if I guess the answer to that is yes, have groups like the Sea Scouts and kayakers been notified of it?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Reid, we received notification this afternoon from Taswater that they had completed the repair work. They had a vac truck that they had on site to remove the residual overflow that was lying on the ground. They had, after completing that process, decontaminated the area, but I'm not aware of any report at this stage on whether there has been any impact on Browns River, so I'd have to take that part of the question on notice. Yeah.
Thank you. And also the next part, because obviously if it has, whether we've advised the Sea Scouts and the kayakers who regularly use that area, because they may not see the sign, it's only very small. My last question is in relation to the New Kingston Park playground, and I'm just wondering whether the additional security cameras have now been installed.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, they have been contracted but not yet installed.
Do we have an approximate date as to when they may be?
Through you, Acting Mayor, I believe it's going to be in the next few weeks.
Thank you very much. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Reid. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I have two questions. The first one is in regards to, have we ever completed or considered a master plan for the Margate precinct?
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Acting Mayor, yes, we have. We think that there's a great need to have a master plan or a strategic plan for Margate. We'd also like to do one for Snug. We haven't had the opportunity to undertake that work yet, but it is certainly in our plan to do so. We're currently working on the master plan for Kingston, which will be useful in setting out how we will go about that, the layout, the consultation and all the work that goes into that, so that'll be a good model for the other townships.
Great, thank you. Next one's in regards to the $60 million upgrade re the Kingston bypass that's been announced today. Will councillors be provided with more information regarding this, and will there be an opportunity for a workshop to find out about the plans for this in the future?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor, happy to take that matter up with State Growth, Councillor Midgley, and I'm sure they would be accommodating of that request.
We now move to questions on notice from councillors, of which there is one on page 4 about the Kingborough Integrated Transport Strategy with an officer's response. And before we move on to notices of motion, I must confess that I have missed a very important part of the meeting, which was the acknowledgement of country. So I apologise for that. And if we just go back a couple of pages, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. We have one notice of motion tonight from Councillor Midgley on climate change resourcing. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I think I need a second. I'll move it.
And I'll second.
Right. Moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting Mayor. And I realise that we did pass a budget and I did vote to pass a budget last week, and this was something that was important matter to me, so that's why I'm putting this motion forward soon after the budget so that we have that on our awareness. And I did pass the budget because it was the recommendation of the Auditor General and the staff's recommendation as well, and not to politicise voting against it, but I would like to bring this forward tonight for a motion for discussion, and I'm interested to hear people's views. So we all have things that are close to our heart, and we are also here to represent matters that are important to community members who gave us their vote. Over the last week, I have received several messages and emails from community members to thank me for what I spoke about at last week's budget meeting. Of particular note, it was my reference to climate change resourcing. One of the emails stated, "I just wanted to express my appreciation for your words in relation to climate change resourcing. It was good to hear such an important issue getting a good airing, even if, again, there is a shortfall in funding. I am pleased that at last the sports centre is getting solar panels, and hopefully the savings in energy and data to support this can be persuasively to fund future carbon reducing projects. Please keep plugging away on climate change resourcing matters until the mid-year estimates, when there could be another opportunity. The Kingborough Climate Change Plan in the Mayor's Foreword by former Mayor Dean Winter states, "The impacts of climate change are apparent, and Kingborough is a municipality that is particularly at risk. We are experiencing more frequent and extreme weather events and bushfire threats, and are seeing significant damage to our coastlines and critical infrastructure. The Kingborough Climate Plan, as well as the Kingborough Climate Adaption Policy, reinforces Council's commitment to understanding climate change, the risks it poses, and how we can identify achievable, responsive strategies. So unlike the sporting and other areas that Council resources, climate change affects everyone in our municipality. We have also seen thousands of young people and children across Tasmania and globally asking governments to respond to climate change and to act now. Our local government also needs to listen to these voices, and these voices do not comment on our budget or probably even know that they could actually have a say regarding our budget and make a submission to Council. And I'm sure that if we ask those voices who attended the climate change rally, the children and young people, they would like to see a fully resourced climate change plan in our area of Kingborough. I also attended a forum, which I've stated here at Council before, the Kingborough Thrives Forum, with about 40 other residents, and I would estimate about 20 of them would have put a submission forward to Council to ask us to fully resource the climate change plan. But again, a group of well-educated people who were sort of, you know, savvy with social media and onto things didn't know that they could actually put a submission into Council regarding our budget. So in the background notes, you will see there is a whole list of projects that are currently underway and are identified as being progressed in the 2021 financial budget that will be significantly advanced by the proposed climate change resourcing. So they're on page 5 and page 6. And I've again had a look at the climate change plan, and I've had some time to sit down with Mr. Dool to actually really thoroughly go through what we are working on and what areas we're still to work on, noting that this plan goes to 2024. But as you can see by the list on page 5 and 6, there is still quite a lot of significant things to consider. So I think for the future, putting resourcing in this area is really important, because it does affect us all. It affects the biodiversity in Kingborough. It affects the future generations of the children and perhaps grandchildren. And I think one thing is important to remember from this motion, it is a consideration. And in the mid-year review, we often have a consideration of capital works projects, and I think it's a really important matter to consider. And I'd also like to see that we perhaps have a workshop in the future as well to discuss where we are up to in regards to the climate change plan, so we can have a really thorough understanding when it comes to the mid-year review to actually see what projects we really need to act on. And another thing after... in conversation with Mr. Dool, is the government is progressing more and more in this area, and we need to be ready for funding and grants that are actually available And we need to be ready to form partnerships ourselves. So to have more resourcing and in this area is really important. So I do hope that you can consider this motion, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Midgley for raising this matter. I think it's extremely important. The language in this document is a little bit confusing to me. It says dedicated resources and then in order to get future resourcing. But what we're really talking about is a person who can apply for grants. That is the number one issue that I think we should be focusing on, so that we can be ready for when the federal government is prepared to hand out money for these things and we've got our projects ready to roll. And I think that is the number one issue that Mr. Dool has raised when we've had discussions on this issue. Most of the other issues that have been listed in this document we're either already doing, either as a council or as community groups in the community. We're planting trees, we're doing a lot with vegetation and coastal erosion through land care. There are a lot of things happening that council is doing on the tip, for example, the methane flaring. We've got retreat plans for various locations. We've done amazing work in terms of mapping to show where the municipality will be affected by sea level rise. We've also got a dedicated bushfire officer. We are doing a lot, and I know that we are leading the state in our response to climate change. But I do support receiving a report from staff, and that is what this is asking for. And in order to be able to have a definite plan to put a person in charge of the projects that we will need. So I thoroughly support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
Acting Mayor, I can talk about this all night. 20 years of it, in fact, when Councillor Buckham, I think, was first appointed chair of the climate change back way back many, many years ago. It was not funded by council them days. It was funded by the government or others, and she spent 5 years, I think, from my memory. Then I think it was Councillor Higgins, and then I think it was Councillor Fox, no, whoever. I guess the question is with this is the fact that we will go nowhere, absolutely nowhere, because there's issues relating to climate change, and one in particular is nature taking its courses, and nobody can prevent nature from taking its courses, and we will never be able to stop that. We've had some good reports come before us on climate change, maybe before your time, Councillor Ridley, and full credit to our environmental department, particularly, and I don't like mentioned names, but Mr. Dool has worked tirelessly on putting stuff forward until this council, and I'll finish on this, and this is the way I look at it. Council have to work with... It's not council's full responsibility. It is a federal state, and we've said that so many times. The federal government's not even interested in it until there's an election. And then after the election, it's all forgotten. But I guess what I'm saying is we can't, with the small staff we have, and we have brochures and we have reports and we have other things that's been produced by our staff and put before this table for us councillors, but that's the end of it. Because we haven't got the funds, and yet we are doing work, as Councillor Fox has said. We are undertaking work with rehabilitation work on our foreshores that's eroding and stuff like that. lot of that land is not even council's own land. It's Crown land. But because of our ratepayers, we are obligated to help. So I'll finish in saying, Acting Mayor, I think the General Manager and his management team need to take a leading role in this with state and federal government so we can come back with a major policy that we can achieve. Or otherwise, I think I'll support this motion, but it's not going to go anywhere until we get some positive feedback from it's beyond us as a council. I guess that's about all I can say.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Acting Mayor. I'll be supporting this. Of course I'll be supporting it. Not just because we have an urgent obligation to act, but also because it completely aligns with our Kingborough Council Strategic Plan 2020 to 2025, where at 1.4 in the strategic outcomes we say that we are a council that acknowledges the existence of a climate change and biodiversity emergency, and we have in place strategies to respond. The Earth is trapping nearly twice as much heat as it did in 2005, according to new research that was released about 3 days ago, described as an unprecedented increase amid the climate crisis. Scientists from NASA, the US Space Agency, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported in a new study that Earth's energy imbalance approximately doubled between 2005 to 2019. And this increase was described by those scientists from NASA and elsewhere as alarming. That has to be the understatement of the century. More than 25% of the Western United States is currently experiencing extreme drought. Australia has already seen the first mammals wiped out, made extinct, because of climate change and climate crisis and biodiversity emergency. And we in our council know that we have capacity to act. To the extent that we control things like our 14,500 tonnes of carbon emissions that we emit as a council per year. And we know that, for example, 92% of our emissions are from waste to landfill. So we do have the capacity to act. We know we have the plans in front of us. We had the carbon accountant explain to us exactly how we can save cumulatively $26.5 million between now and 2050 if we adopt a leadership goal of net zero emissions by 2035. So this motion, which I'm so proud to be seconding, and I sincerely thank Councillor Midgley for moving this motion tonight, is giving us the tools that we need to tackle the climate crisis and do our small part. More needs to be done, and we will do more, but this is a very important positive step, and that's why I'm proud to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I will be supporting this, particularly in the degree of having the planning done. As Councillor Midgley said, it's important to be ready whenever there is any grants or anything going on. And I think one of the things that our council has done in the past is be reactive rather than being proactive. And I think this is a very good time to be proactive, have things ready, and then we missed getting the electric chargers when they were being offered because we had no plan of where they would go or how we would fund the rest of the money. There are little things that happen all the time like this, and I think that if Mr. Doole can have a series of plans ready, shovel ready to go, that would be a really good thing. Be proactive in this and be ready whenever the funds are available.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I thank Councillor Midgley for bringing the motion. I just wanted to clarify something about it. Is it the intention of the motion that $50,000 be allocated towards an additional part-time staff member to do work on the climate change action plan? I'm hoping Councillor Midgley can answer that question. That's awkward, isn't it? How do we do that?
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. It was in the wording of the motion, it was actually the advice of the General Manager in regards to that. So I don't know if he would like to speak to that any more, but in regards to, and that's why I have discussed as well in the consideration and leading up to that mid-year budget review that we do have a workshop to discuss it further. So that is something open and discussion and transparent in regards to then what the future will look like. And I think then Mr. Dool will have an understanding of what actually needs to happen within the climate change plan and the actions. We'll have some really clear what the future direction will be.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. I might give the General Manager an opportunity to answer that as well.
Thank you, Acting Mayor, and through you, Councillor Reet, Councillor Mitchell is correct. We did have a discussion about this notice of motion, and I suggested that in terms of the wording, it wouldn't be appropriate to lock in a certain approach in terms of how to get whatever the work required is to be done, because it may well be that the best way to do it is through a consultant if the council actually agree at the mid-year budget review. So it was basically in the context of keep it open because until we know exactly what it is we're dealing with, we won't know the best way to resource it.
Okay, and another question, please, for the General Manager. In passing this tonight, I just want some clarification as to this motion is not locking this in as a... Is it locking funding of this in as the highest priority come the mid-year review in the first cab off the rank? So if in 6 months' time the financial outcome for council is ahead of budget, does this motion in passing tonight, in your mind, put this funding pool at the top of the list, or is there an opportunity for, would it be a situation where this is weighed up against other items? Because I think, as Councillor Midgley herself acknowledged, there are obviously quite a few projects for different things that people have indicated around the room that they would have liked to have seen in the budget this year that weren't possible. So I just wanted to more a procedural question about where this is headed.
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Good question, Councillor Reet. My reading of the notice of motion is that if Council were to support it tonight, it would be one of, I suspect, a number of matters or to use another term, a number of priorities that would be considered in the mid-year budget review.
Thank you. And just a final question. Councillor Bastone mentioned the electric vehicle charging station. I thought we were still waiting on the outcome of the grant for that. Were we unsuccessful?
I can answer that. I had the same question. We were part of a regional application to the Australian Government Future Fuels Program to fund an electric vehicle fast charge station across a number of sites, including Kingston, and we are awaiting an announcement about successful applicants.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Look, I'm happy to support this motion because we have endorsed the climate change action plan, and I look forward to us having a workshop and being able to discuss this further when we have a mid-year review, and no doubt there will also be other things that will be brought forward, but I thank Councillor Midgley for bringing this to us tonight, and I'll be supporting it.
Thank you. We'll go to Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Acting Mayor, I don't usually support motions of a nature that consider funding of projects in areas that we would usually take into account through the budget process, because I think that there's a danger sometimes that while we're not circumventing the budget process, we do subvert it. Having said that, I think Councillor Midgley's motion is very clear that this is a matter to be considered during the mid-year budget, and I'm happy to support the motion on the basis that it shows staff that it is something that we absolutely want to consider during the mid-year budget, as I think we should. So I thank Councillor Midgley for the way that she has worded the motion to ensure that this is something that we consider, because I think for the reasons that my colleagues have stated, it is something that we absolutely need to consider if we have the means to do so. And like I say, in spite of the fact that usually I haven't supported motions of this nature, this one is worded in such a way that I'm able to do that and pleased to do so.
Thank you, Councillor Street. To Councillor Bastine for a question.
A clarification rather than a question. There were two rounds of electric charges. The first one, Launceston and Hobart both took it up, and they both have them operating fully now. That was a prior round to the round that we are in now.
That's correct. Thank you, Councillor Bastow. Councillor Worth.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor. Climate change is the greatest challenge that we face. It means extinction of the planet. It means total loss of the planet unless we are prepared, and we being operative all around the planet, to work towards it. Our little bit will mean very little, but the little bit that's done in New Zealand, the little bit that's done in all the various countries in South America, Asia, Europe, Africa, etc., will become a big bit. We can't reverse it necessarily, but we can reduce the halt of it speeding away. And if you look at Antarctica and the amount of ice, and you look at Greenland, and you look at Iceland, and see the rate of ice shelves that are vanishing, something has to happen, and it has to happen now. Unfortunately, through lack of funding, we lost our community hub, our climate change community hub, and that went to the Whitsundays. The good thing is that we did a deal with the Whitsunday Regional Council some years ago, and to put it in their words, they hitched their cart to the best horse in the country, which was regarded as Kingborough, and that relationship still exists, and we need to learn from them. They, like us, have a lot of coast. They have a lot of forest areas, and they are already experiencing climate change for their people. In fact, it was only recently in the last 12 months that they put out community forums saying that in the next 80 years, seawater is going to rise by 80 centimetres. How are we going to combat that? How are we going to retreat, and where are we going to retreat, and what can we do to mitigate? So they've taken all of that to their community and working towards it. I also see that when we work towards a goal, there are opportunities that weren't even considered, and we need to take on the role so that any opportunities that do come forward, we can act upon. I'm more than happy to consider this in the mid-year budget review, and on that basis, I will be supporting it.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley, would you like to close?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd also like to acknowledge the staff, and thank you, Councillor Fox, for raising this, for their hard work and dedication and recognised work in this area. And thank you, councillors. I almost felt quite emotional hearing some of you speak, and for your sharing, because it is a very important topic, as we have all heard, that affects the future generations. And I will continue to raise the importance of fully resourcing the climate change plan, and that as a council we do take a fully resourced action in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour of Councillor Midgley's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. Petitions being actioned, there were no petitions at the time the agenda was compiled, and petitions received, there were no petitions received in the last period. That brings us to officers' reports to council. Before I ask for a mover and a seconder, I will just remind councillors that we have been provided with commercial in confidence information in relation to this, and I ask that you please don't discuss that as part of your contribution. Moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Acting Mayor, the Kingborough Lions are to be absolutely congratulated for the efforts that they have made to get a naming rights sponsor for Lightwood Park, or for Lightwood Park Ground 1 as it is. As the report notes, Council's previously endorsed the notion that sponsorship rights are something that should be open to the Twin Ovals complex, and as yet neither the cricket club nor the football club have been in a position to find a suitable naming rights sponsor. So the Kingborough Lions are to be absolutely congratulated for their efforts on this part. In terms of the risks that are noted in the report, Acting Mayor, there's a risk noted that Council may face criticism from members of the community who have a philosophical objection to the names of public facilities being sold for commercial gain. While there's a commercial gain there for the sponsor, I'd say that Council is going to open itself up to far more criticism from the community for preventing this community sports club, one of our best community sports clubs, if not arguably our best community sports club, from reaping the benefits of a sponsorship agreement that they have managed to negotiate with such aplomb. So I commend the motion to Council. I congratulate the Kingborough Lions Football Club for it, and hope that we can pass this and continue our support for community sport right across Kingborough.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I also would like to say congratulations. I'm sure many of us will tonight, because it is an innovative solution for seeking this sponsorship. I'm sure that the volunteers with the club and with many organisations spend tireless amounts of hours applying for grants for small little wins here and there, so it's really fantastic that they do have corporate sponsorship that I'm sure fits with council values as well. So many sporting clubs are faced with the risk and compliance matters that are ever increasing. I don't think you can even cook a... You can't cook a sausage without a working with children card. And the person to process that doesn't mean, you know, there's a lot of follow-up and making sure I'm guilty as a team manager, making sure I show them my working with children card and the emails that have to go through. So there is countless amounts of hours that are put onto them. And they're a growing and flourishing club. As I declared before, I have two children who've been engaged in that sport. I don't know what I would do as a parent if my children didn't play soccer. But not only that, the commitment and dedication to their coaches is just so fantastic, and it supports thousands of families in our municipality, but not only encourages health and wellbeing, but the community connection for families and parents as well, which is so important. And speaking to Brian yesterday, he let me know that the Lightwood is going to be a base camp for the Women's World Cup soccer, which is just wonderful. The report also states that naming rights sponsorship of facilities is not uncommon, and indeed Council has endorsed this notion at the Twin Ovals. A question in regards to this, I was wondering, do we need to have a policy that covers all of our sporting grounds for sponsorship matters? Perhaps in the future, maybe that's something to consider. And I did have a chat with Mr. Smee about that, and it is his idea as well.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, we do have a advertising and signage policy that is specific to the Twin Ovals, given that this issue is likely to become more prominent across all of our facilities in the future. It would be beneficial to expand that particular policy to cover all of our sports grounds. It is referenced within our sports ground user manual, but it doesn't go into the level of detail that's in the Twin Ovals policy. So, yes, I would recommend that would be a good idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smee. And I'm also aware that sometimes council themselves have to look for private sponsorship. When I was working at the City of Hobart, it was called the Hobart Maya Christmas Pageant, and so sometimes, you know, there are naming rights for different things. So it is not uncommon for these things to happen. So again, as Councillor Street said, it's a really huge congratulations to the club, and I hope this is a great sponsorship for relationship for them, and I look forward to seeing them flourishing for the health and wellbeing for our community.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bastow.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd really like to congratulate the club on going out and doing this. This is quite common on the mainland to have a private and public combination to enable things to progress quickly. But I would like to make an amendment to section 10 B to read, approval is granted for a period of 5 years in the first instant. Because I think that at the moment it says it's guaranteed for a maximum period of 5 years. And if this is a successful partnership, I would like to see it not handicapped by the fact we have said a maximum period of 5 years.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Do I have someone to second that? Councillor Fox? So we're now speaking to the amendment, Councillor Bastone. Do we need to...
I don't think I need to speak to him. I think it's quite clear. The reason I think we need to do it is not to bind ourselves into having to stop the sponsorship at the end of 5 years.
Sorry, I think I need to actually ask if we accept the amendment. All those in favour?
No, you have to ask the mover.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Councillor Street and Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bastone is proposing an amendment to 10B which says approval is granted for a period, so removing the word maximum, a period of 5 years in the first instance. Are you happy to accept that amendment?
I am interested in a staff comment to it, that's all.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Chair, and I guess the intent of this particular recommendation was that it apply to the life of this particular request. At the end of 5 years, the club could come back to us and seek further approval. But if Council wished to amend it, I don't think it's an issue.
Okay. Councillor Bastone, would you have anything else to add?
I'd like to say something before you close.
I think the amendment has been accepted, so that's what the motion is now, but you can still speak, Councillor Fox, because you haven't spoken yet.
Just on the amendment, I wanted to make the comment that in either interpretation of what's written and what was written, it would still have to come to Council because we're only giving...
Boredom. Point of order, there is no amendment other than what the mover and seconder are moved.
That's correct, Councillor Wass. So that's my fault for not being clear at the start. We haven't actually moved an amendment. The mover and seconder have accepted the proposal from Councillor Bastone.
All right, then I will continue. Can I continue to speak on the main motion?
Yes.
And I presume after 5 years this will come back to Council. I think it's an amazing opportunity that that this club has managed to secure the funding from Clenets, and I think that I have been watching this sport grow over the years, and one of the best things about it, about soccer, is that they have both men and women involved, both girls and boys. And it is amazing to watch young girls coming right through from primary school to high school playing sport of this nature. And the facilities up there have increased so much because of the demand. And I would like to ask Mr. Smee if he can actually tell us the number of people that are involved up at Lightwood Park. I once heard the figure and it slipped my mind, but maybe Mr. Smee would know the actual figures of the number of teams and the number of people involved.
I suspect we may have to take that on notice, but I'll hand over to Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, I don't know the exact number of teams, but it's around 700 members that they have actually playing.
That's more than AFL. So it just goes to show that we are backing winners, because a lot of these sports, they come overnight, they disappear overnight. This one's here to stay. And I think it's wonderful that they've looked to the future, they're planning to the future, they're getting new club rooms for their female participants. And I think they're going to do very well in the future, and it's wonderful that they're getting this backing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
I just have a question that was raised earlier, and I'm quite interested in that fact. Are we not still talking about the amendment, are we?
No, we're talking about the substantive.
We're talking about
which includes
the report?
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
Can staff guarantee that within law, the constitution of law, us recommending that it be approved, the football club be named Clenets Lightwood Park, without a proper policy, as I understand from what I heard, the fact that we have not got a proper policy in place that we could stand up to the audit panel or other bodies. I'm just a little bit concerned, should we have done that first? I do know Hobart City Council named the swimming pool something to do with a Tats Lotto or whatever, but I know there was a big backlash on that at first, and I'm not sure what policies. I support this 100%, but I'm just protecting our bottoms that we don't pass something and then find out that we're going to get a lash back from other people that may have wanted to contribute.
I'll hand over to Mr. Smee to answer parts of that question, Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. No, there's no risk to council in approving this in terms of any comeback from the state auditors. This is a decision for council. In terms of a policy framework, we do have a sports ground user policy that indicates that any application of this nature should be forwarded to council. The reference earlier to a policy framework would be more around giving staff direction, but it's quite appropriate that this matter comes to council, and it's entirely appropriate for council to make the decision. I'd also add that this is not a request for formal renaming of the Oval to go to Place Names Tasmania. It's a request for it to be referenced as Clenets Lightwood Park by the club within the football fraternity. It's not a formal renaming that would require anything beyond a council decision.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Like others who have already spoken, I support this motion and would like to congratulate the club, because I think it's wonderful that they've been able to do this. And as Councillor Midgley mentioned earlier, not-for-profit organisations work very, very hard to secure grants and sponsorship, and they are very difficult to come by because we don't have such a critical mass of large businesses in Tasmania or ones with their head offices. And I know that a large amount of my time in my role as at a not-for-profit is doing just that, writing grants and hoping that one of them comes off. So to see this with a local business and a well-regarded one is a tremendous bonus for the club. Like Councillor Midgley, I did my 12 years on the sidelines of Lightwood Park with my son, who started as soon as he was old enough to play with the Kingborough Lions, and I know what a terrific club that they are. They're very highly regarded and very well organised, and I think this the success of this sponsorship application is a testament to the quality of their volunteers who work tirelessly for the club. And it's a great outcome for them. They are one of the largest sporting clubs in the state. So hopefully this will provide them with an opportunity to really thrive as they move forward, and hopefully eventually one day we can see the vision that we know that they have a significant vision for what the Lightwood Park facilities would look like. And there's no doubt that there is going to be a need at some point, hopefully, for some federal or state government funding to assist with that because of the size of the plans. But it's one of those things where I think it's a shame we're not in a marginal electorate, because we're in the south, that seems to be very hard to come by, and I know the club has worked for many, many years lobbying politicians of every persuasion in order to try and secure funding to get that project off the ground. So I hope this gives them some sense of hope. It will certainly assist with their financial situation, and I'm sure we all look forward to seeing this come to fruition and seeing those signs go up and Lightwood Park promoted with its new name.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'm very supportive of the Lions and of the enormous health and wellbeing benefits that they bestow upon community members, the strong sense of local identity and inclusion that they engender for all of us. It's wonderful to hear that 700 or so people are involved. And it's good to see that local business is offering to come on board and support terrific initiatives that help keep us active, healthy, entertained and bring us closer together as a community. I think it's to be applauded that the club is seeking alternative funding streams because it's very hard yakka to get funding and it takes time and tenacity to get projects up and get them across the line. I do, however, have a few questions so that I can get a clear picture of the various inputs, the various parties who have contributed funding so far and the overall context before making a decision. My first question is, what's the history of the name Lightwood? For whom is Lightwood Crescent named? Does anyone know?
Good question. We might need to take that one on notice.
Okay.
Councillor Cordova. Oh, right. Councillor Fox.
Oh, here we are.
There's a building up there called Lightwood House. That was the first thing there, and I think Lightwood Crescent was named after Lightwood House and Lightwood Park likewise because of the building in the middle of the sports centre before it was a sports centre.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. And Councillor Wass, you have something to add to that?
Not quite right. It was the name of the farm on the property, which was Lightwood Farm.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there's some history there. That's interesting. If this proposal were to pass, and this has been touched on, in terms of who else could start naming things? Because, of course, there's no naming policy. Is there a risk that after this first 5 years, we'll then move away from a hardware store and then it'll be a fast food, and then after that it'll be a casino and a bottle shop? And, what's to protect against, Raytheon and Lockheed Martin ultimately sponsoring? I'm being facetious, of course, what's to stop a fast food? What's to and so McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Kentucky Fried Chicken, what's to stop Domino's Pizza or Pizza Artsy, a local pizza store, from sponsoring?
Thank you. I'll hand over to Mr. Smee to answer that question.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I guess the first control would be the fact that this matter would always come to council, so that would be a council deliberation to determine whether a sponsor was appropriate or not. In relation to the Twin Ovals policy, there is a guiding principle relating to standards, and that states that no advertising or signage will be permitted that could be considered offensive, discriminatory, or contrary to the values of the Kimberley Council. So I guess that's where, if we had a more broader policy applying to all our grounds, we could include provisions such as that that would provide guidance to our clubs as to what we may or may not consider.
Just a question on that was why I asked about
just the
policy.
Councillor Grace, Councillor Cordova is speaking at the moment.
I thought he was finished.
No, I don't think so.
Sorry, I'll try and be brief. So am I allowed to ask why are there elements of this that are commercial in confidence? Why can't the community hear more about this? What makes it commercial in confidence?
Mr. Smee.
The quantum of the sponsorship, the club have indicated that they would like to keep that confidential. So we need to respect that request. Had they put that request in their correspondence to council, it would have been listed in closed session. Obviously, we like to keep these things in open council for transparency reasons, but it is appreciated the fact that the club have negotiated a commercial sponsorship arrangement and both parties want to keep that confidential.
Thanks. My next question is, my understanding is that the Lions have a sports ground tenancy agreement with the council. Who owns the land and who owns the buildings, and does the land or the building belong to the Lions or does it belong to us?
Mr. Smee.
The council.
Through you, Acting Mayor, so council owns all of the land there, all of the sports grounds are owned by council, as are the existing buildings. The proposal for the new club rooms and change rooms, the club does have a preference that they own the building and that can be facilitated by way of we would lease them the land on which the building would be constructed and they would then own the structure. And that's not unusual. We have a number of other clubs that do have similar leases. Most recently, the Taruna Soccer Club, their new club rooms, they own the building. We simply lease them the footprint.
That's great, thanks. But it is true, is it not, that obviously the club does own its own assets in terms of their uniforms, their gear, their marquees, their vehicles, their equipment. There are many other things that conceivably the club could, as an alternative solution to the one proposal before us, they could enter into commercial agreements for brand naming rights on things that they own, like uniforms or like their vehicles or, you know, any number of things. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks. So is it true that the council, Kingborough Council, receives income of $500 per year for user fees rental of Lightwood Ovals and that this price has remained unchanged for some years?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Acting Mayor, council doesn't currently charge local sporting groups for use of our sports grounds. So the $500 would come from clubs that hire the ground that come from outside of the area. And I'd also point out that the Kingston High School do also pay an amount for use of Lightwood Park.
Thanks. And do we have any sense of what would be, in a free market world, what would be the market rate of rental for a similar privately held oval?
Not quite sure you're on topic.
Okay. That's okay. I'll happy to withdraw that. What I'm getting at is, well, I'll move on. So in the Lightwood Master Plan in 2018, it says that Lightwood Park 1, here's a quote, the new ground will provide an additional ground for training and games. The works are expected to be completed for the start of the winter sports season in April 2018. The cost estimate for the above works is $623,000. Who paid that $623,000 or whatever it ended up costing?
I'm not quite sure where you're going with this, Councillor Cordova, but we're talking about sponsorship.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find out how much the council puts in so that we can make an assessment as to whether or not the community is getting value for money by giving a community assets naming rights to a commercial entity. So that's what I'm trying to tease out. So my next question, maybe if that one didn't... I'm pretty sure that we paid, that we being the community of Kingborough, the ratepayers of Kingborough, the Kingborough Council paid $623,000 or thereabouts. Is it true that council spends about $55,000 a year on turf activities at Lightwood Park Oval number one?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, yes, that's the figure that we budget.
Thanks. So I hope I'm just trying to paint a picture here that it's the people of Kingborough that are essentially paying inordinate sums of money for the benefit of Lightwood Park. It's not the hardware store, it's not a pizza store, it's not any other store. My next question is, what did Lightwood Park cost to build and who paid to build it?
Councillor Cordova, I'm not sure that your line of questioning is directly relevant to the item that we're discussing at the moment.
It says at 5.1, Council has contributed an amount of $200,000 from its 2020-2021 capital budget towards the cost of the new change rooms, and the State Government has contributed $300,000 from its Levelling the Playing Field program. So I'll move on to my substantive and I'll be brief. I want the Lions to succeed and I want Clements to succeed, and they're both highly valued organisations in our community and they do very, very good work. And I'm proud of them and I wish them all the very best. First and foremost, I want the community to get a fair shake for their money. And as I see it, it's the community that paid for this ground, not the commercial entity. It's the community that continues to pay for this ground. And unless the amount that a commercial entity is willing to pay is in the order of what is needed for the project, which is $5 to $6 million, then I think that we would be doing a disservice to the community, because it's, in a way, false advertising. For when young athletes walk onto that field and they see the name of a hardware store, they'll think to themselves that this hardware store is what made this ground possible. And it isn't. It's the people of Kingborough. that made this ground possible. And the reason why I got thinking about this is because there's a quarterly essay where Richard Dennis says, our other great cultural symbol, the sports stadium, has been transformed. Once named after great Australians, these stadiums are today more commonly named after their corporate sponsors that contribute 1% or 2% of the cost of constructing and running our city's most recognised public buildings. Now, we heard the example today of Dune Kennedy, the aquatic centre. Well, that isn't named after a hardware store or a fast food outlet. That's named after the first female Lord Mayor of Hobart. So that's... We had not long ago a conversation about Lily Pullet Harris. These are the people who I think the community would want our sports grounds named after, and there is an adequate alternative listed in the motion at 4.8. If the council was of the view that the naming right request was not appropriate, then they could simply say Lightwood Park, but with a notation that is proudly sponsored by Clenets Mitre 10. I'll finish by saying, here's another quote from this quarterly essay. In short, corporate sponsorship of public assets and public services plays a key part in persuading the public that nothing good can be done without the help of the private sector. Whether it's the rescue helicopters, stadiums, war memorials or art galleries, the Australian public has been exposed to decades of public tribute to the corporates that provided just 1% or 2% of the funding, whilst simultaneously being told that governments, which contribute the vast majority of the funds, are broke, inefficient and can't afford to deliver the services they could once. We've been trained to thank our sponsors and not thank our fellow citizens. And so at the end of the day, I won't be supporting this proposal because, in my opinion, to name this space after any one business would be false advertising. It would give spectators and athletes, particularly young ones, the false impression that it was thanks to Clenets Mitre 10. But in fact, it was thanks to the people of Kingborough that built this, that paid for it, that continue to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars per year, hundreds of thousands, far more. And it's the people of Kingborough who pay the costs of its ongoing operation. So if this park should be named in honour of anybody, it should be named for the people of Kingborough and by them, and not for a commercial entity by a club.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace, you had a question.
Yeah, I'm very confused. I guess Mr. Smee answered our queries are regarding because of the policy situation or council lacking a policy, and that's probably why we're not so conversed with some of the questions that are being thrown around the table tonight. My question is, are we rushing into this or should we postpone this and get a further report on some of the questions? Because I'd hate to think that we were doing something that we can come back and be bitten by. But I have been assured that that's not the case, Acting Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Mr. Smee has answered a number of questions relating to the policy that Council has, and I think we are giving it due consideration by bringing it to Council. There's nine of us here tonight who've been elected by the Kingborough community, and we're all welcome to put our views forth. Councillor Wass.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor. I wasn't going to say too much, but I think after Councillor Cordova, it needs to be said. We are looking at a request from a prominent sporting club to share their expenditure requirements through private business, and that private business has agreed to, and they're working together. Not unlike UTAS Stadium in Launceston, not unlike Boot Park in Belreef. In fact, not unlike any other state within Australia. For 700 approximate players for this club to put on the field week in, week out, their medical bill alone will be about $30,000. They also need to pay affiliation fees to be involved in Football Tasmania. They also need to pay for their referees, and they don't come cheap. One of the interesting facts, and one that we can be very proud of, is that the Kingborough Lions
are the largest Football Tasmania club in the state. The same as the Kingborough Tigers are the largest AFL football club in the state. And likewise, the Kingborough Knights are the largest cricket club in the state. So we have three large groups, which indicates to us, of course, that our community looks and appreciates health and well-being for parents to keep their children and to put them into some type of exercise. Gymnastics Tasmania, through the Kingston Gymnastics, shares again a considerable number and possibly the largest in the state. What price do you put on health and well-being for your children? We go back and we hear the false rumour that it was the Kingborough ratepayers that paid for the setting up of Lightwood Park pitch number one. What a whole lot of baloney. It was not. It was the Tasmanian government that involved in the baseball diamond when they were trying to get baseball up and running in the state many years ago. And it was going quite well, unfortunately, until someone, shall we say, decided to share in the profits and the baseball disappeared. At that stage, the opportunity arose for the Kingborough Lions United Football Club to be involved, and council welcomed them to be involved because there were many years of unpaid ground fees by the baseball club. When the Kingborough Lions United Football Club took over that ground, they didn't ask council to go in and do work. They undertook it themselves. And one prominent official of that club took 3 months off long service and for 3 months directed contractors and spent his time there to bring the ground virtually up to the standard it is. Kingborough Council has also contributed monies for that ground, no different than any other ground within our municipality. The Kingborough Lions United Football Club are a progressive club. We've heard that. They want to go ahead. They want to look after their players of all age, of male and female. They could come to council and ask council to support. They could go and get some grant funds, when and if that grant's open that they can use. Or they can take some initiative. They've chosen to take initiative and I commend them and I will be supporting the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. As the majority of my colleagues have alluded to, the Kingborough Lions United Football Club is a really wonderful local sporting community. I'm very impressed that it has 700 members. I didn't actually realise there were quite that many. And likewise, Clenance Mitre 10 is a very active participant in supporting our community through a number of different things. They have a very good reputation and I have no issue with their name being associated with Lightwood Park. If my colleagues would allow me, I would like to acknowledge one of the founding members of the club, George Arnott, who passed away recently at age 86, and I'm told he was instrumental in the formation of the club. So I'd like to acknowledge George Arnott. I am satisfied that this offers value for money. I'm satisfied that it is a really great public-private partnership, and I also support the motion. Councillor Street, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. In summing up, I think it needs to be noted that the funds that that the Kingborough Lions realise as a result of this deal go back into community sport. They go back into funding things that the Kingborough Lions need in order to operate. And if we don't fund those things, or if sponsorship doesn't fund those things, or if another arm of government doesn't fund those things, then ultimately the people that fund those things are the people that play community sport. And if there's an opportunity to defray that cost in any way, then this council shouldn't stand in the way of that. And I'm sorry to the Kingborough Lions that the motion won't pass council this evening unanimously. But ultimately, Councillor Cordova will wake up tomorrow morning and be philosophically pure. And if council colleagues agreed with him, then he'd be philosophically pure even if the children and families of Kingborough had to dip into their own pockets in order to fund it. So I'm glad that it appears as though my colleagues are going to support this motion, because I do think it's a wonderful thing. And again, I'm just sorry that it won't be carried unanimously.
Thank you. The motion we have in front of us tonight, moved by Councillor Street and seconded by Councillor Midgley. And I'll read it out because it's on the screen, slightly different to the printed agenda, that the request from the Kingborough Lions United Football Club to name their home ground Clenets Lightwood Park be approved subject to the following conditions. A, Council's approval relates to the Lightwood Park number 1 ground and not to any other grounds. And B, approval is granted for a period of 5 years in the first instance. And C, statutory and landlord approvals must be obtained for any signage associated with the naming of the ground. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No, thank you.
We have a division. All those in favour, please raise their hands. Councillors Grace, Street, Bastone, Reet, Fox, Midgley, Wass and Westwood. Those against? Councillor Cordova, the motion is carried. We now move to the financial report on page 12 of the agenda paper. The financial report for May 2021. Do I have someone to move the financial report? Councillor Cordova, and seconded by Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So we're looking at the May 2021 financial report, and again, this is, to my reading, quite good news. Really important to note that in the 2020-2021 operational budget, Council had made an allowance of $500,000 for potential loss of rate revenue under the hardship policy to cover the waiving of commercial rates, and indications are now that the majority of that amount will not be required to cover potential applications for commercial rates waivers. And so an estimated $400,000 is forecast to be moved to rate revenue before the end of the year, which was the subject of a motion that I recently put forward seeking to use that money elsewhere. The rates in this report are $168,000 over budget, which is another result in a long line of results where rates are over budget, with the general rate being $132,000 over budget and the garbage rate being $38,000 over budget. Similarly, statutory fees and fines are $416,000 over budget, due primarily because of so much in the way of planning fees and development applications that are coming through the municipality. I thought I would ask a question about comparing this financial report to the last one that we've seen. Is it a fair assessment that the trends that we have seen over the last four or five financial reports are continuing, which is that we have this enormous number of development applications and planning approvals taking place, and therefore that is bolstering the Council's finances, resulting in quite a healthy financial position?
It is true we have extra revenue from the buoyant property market, but we also have offsetting expenses, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. My next question would just be about the TAS Water dividends. It's worth noting here that dividends are $308,000 over budget due to TAS Water paying a quarter of their dividends due to their performance being better than expected. My understanding, and so this is a question, my understanding is that we were expecting no TAS Water dividend. Is it the case that we can anticipate that potentially we'll see some greater dividend from TAS Water forthcoming?
We have just approved our budget for next year, Councillor Cordova, and I believe you were at the workshop, but I'll refer this question to Mr Breen.
Yes, through the Mayor. Look, essentially, for next financial year, we've budgeted for 50%. Certainly, and this year, TAS Water gave an indication there would be no dividend, so clearly they've performed better than they expected to. So, look, I think there's still a degree of uncertainty about their performance next financial year, but I think we can be fairly confident that we'll get at least 50%.
Thank you. My next question is, it says at 4.2 that Council's cash and investments amount to $13.6 million at the end of May, which is up $6.7 million from the May 2020 figure due to increases in interest-free borrowings. How does this amount of cash compare with other municipalities of a similar size? Are we in a healthy position with respect to Council's cash and investments?
Mr. Brain, I'm not sure whether you're able to answer that question, but I'll give you the opportunity.
Through the chair, look, essentially we tend to operate on the lower side in terms of our cash position, and for us it's a decision between cash and borrowing. So the more we have to borrow, we certainly have to pay interest on it, and we can have a higher cash balance. I'm aware of a council like Clarence who would sit on about $50 million in cash reserves, so they're right at the top end of a healthy level of cash reserves. For this council, essentially, I imagine at the end of this financial year, our cash reserves and our borrowings will be at a pretty similar level. We did expect our borrowings to be slightly higher than our cash, but we've got about between $4 and $5 million worth of grant funds that haven't been expended so far. So, and I think the one thing that we're fortunate with at the moment is that we've got interest-free borrowing, so it's not costing the council any money at the moment. But certainly our aim is to try and retire as much of that debt when it falls due in 3 to 4 years' time. So, look, I think our position's not dire, but it's certainly the cash position is something we keep a really close eye on.
Thank you. And so to conclude, after the first 11 months of the 2020-2021 financial year, Council is on track to deliver a result that is an improvement on the budget underlying deficit. That, I think, is a testament to the very sound fiscal management that takes place by staff and around by the councils around this table. And I think it puts us in a very good position to start showing some flexibility with respect to our finances to invest in the things that the community really cares about, such as climate action. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. A couple of comments in regards to the Community Hub revenue on page 12. It's hasn't come out of a great circumstance, but it is fortunate that we do have the Community Hub and we will be receiving revenue, as it states on page 12, 13K was received in May. What is that revenue sort of prediction for the future? Will it continue to be utilised for the immunisation clinic?
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through the chair. My understanding is that this stage is certainly booked through to for the majority of the rest of this calendar year. So I think it's sort of towards the end of the calendar year. So I guess we'll get continuation of the income for that period of time.
Thank you. And wondering where does the efficiency dividend fit into this? I note it's not mentioned specifically in here. I just have a question in regards to that and if at all it had an impact on any projects or how did it... Yeah, a bit more information in regards to that. Sorry if I have missed it, if it has been mentioned in here.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through the chair. Essentially, the efficiency dividend sits in the governance area and we just put it in there as a holding point till we can allocate it across the various areas of council. So it's been spread across. Predominantly, a lot of the savings came out of the Works Department, who had some opportunities to reduce some of the scope of works that they were undertaking. I think road sweeping was a good example of that. And there were some projects within the environmental area that either didn't need to go ahead or they were happy to delay them for 12 months. So they're the two areas that have predominantly been impacted by the efficiency dividend. The rest was spread across all areas of council in some minor expenditure areas.
Great, thank you. And noting on page 37, the Kingston Park capital expenditure, there's quite a lot in the budget and carried forward expenditure. Could we just get a bit of a summary of that, please?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through the chair. So essentially at this point in time, 59% of the Kingston Park budget has either been expended or is committed at this stage. One of the difficulties we've got with a large project like that is that if we have a potential project coming up around the middle of the year, we tend to include that project in the budget so that if it does come to council before 30 of June, we've got a budget against which the expenditure can be undertaken. So the public open space stage two is an example of that. That's in the budget for this financial year, but will most likely not come through to council until early in the next financial year. So quite often you have quite a large sum that will be carried forward into the next financial year, and that's what will happen with Kingston Park.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Grace.
Acting Mayor, yeah. I mean, I said a bit at the setting of the budget the other night, and it reinforces me to no end that, and I know I'll get criticised again, but I don't mind that we may not need to be increasing rates. In fact, we should be given a decrease in rates because we can't spend the money we're taking. But that's not... I just picked on that, on something that Mr. Green mentioned about the big savings in capital works and maintenance works. And I did mention before about going having a look at our infrastructure, and I was criticised by one of my colleagues and told me to go and have a look at Clarence or somewhere else.
Councillor Grace, anyway, we're talking about the financial report for May 2021.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this dividends of $308,000 from Taz Water, this is an absolute a no-win situation, and I don't know why the government haven't woken up to this, and no council should be getting a dividends because, as I understand, through our budget session, didn't we hear somewhere that Taz Water are putting our water rates up $46 a year?
Is that a question, Councillor
Grace?
Yes,
it's a question.
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Grace, Taz Water prices are determined through a prices and service delivery plan, which has to be approved by the economic regulator. And Taz Water have flagged that there is an intention that, that their charges will increase, that is correct.
Have you any idea? Is that $46 a fair comment, or is that just a fabricated figure?
General Manager.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Grace, I have no idea of the impact on individual households.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up?
Thank you. A robust discussion about the financial report and some good news and also to be taken with the reverence that it deserves, to make sure that we don't obviously spend beyond our means, but a really great indication of what our means actually are based on, you know, those interest-free loans that we've got, based on the increases in the planning and development applications that we're seeing, based on, you know, the rates charges, how we bring in more money than we thought we would, and we're spending less than we thought that we would as well. So overall, we are now in a position, a robust position moving forward, and I think it bodes well that our community should really expect that as we invest to recover, to build back better and stronger after COVID, that we have the resources at this council to do so because of prudent fiscal management, and now it's up to us to actually take out our checkbooks and make sure that we invest properly in the grey and green infrastructure that we need to deliver the services that the community expects. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. All those in favour of the financial report...
Sorry, I had a question. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Reid, a question.
It's late putting my light on.
Oh, point of order?
Oh, did he? Oh, sorry.
Was there some up? Okay. All those in favour of endorsing the financial report as at the 31st of May 2021, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Financial report is endorsed at the 31st of May 2021. Councillor Grace is leaving for the evening. Thank you for joining us, Councillor Grace. We now move to page 38 of our agenda paper, Development Services Quarterly Report. Do I have a councillor to move this, please? Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Reid. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Firstly, I'd just like to thank staff for their great work in this area, the very important work that we watch, and we can see the bricks and mortar of our community growing, and how busy the staff are in this area. And this report provides a great update. And I also thank you, Dr. Katrina Stevenson, for emailing staff the statistics of the hard work that the staff have been doing in this area and actually keeping councillors up to date. I have a couple of questions. The first one is in regards to... Sorry, I'll just shut my page. in regards to the Huntingfield State Government Residential Development, the roundabout application, I'm wondering, in the comment that it says a public notification process for this application occurred, representations received, these were forwarded to regarding the process for more information. I'm just wondering if there's a bit of a summary regarding what perhaps the key concerns were from the representations that were made and what's the process now, where are things up to?
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the application will actually come to the next council meeting on the 5th of July. So it'll be summarised in that. I haven't seen the full summary of the submissions, but certainly there's comments in there about impacts on traffic, about the design, about access, cycling infrastructure, ability to cross the highway and so forth. They're all included in there, but a thorough summary of these representations will be in that report on the 5th.
Thank you, Ms. Tyler Moore. So, through Acting Mayor, in regards to the last time when a development came through us, like the bus shelters, the park and rides, there's a lot of questions that councillors could not ask. And I haven't read all of the... I know that the cycling community definitely did put submissions and representations in, but if there are definitely some things that people are advocating for and we cannot perhaps talk about it on the night, I guess we can have a discussion with you, but there's nothing really that we can... You know, I guess what I'm wondering is, do you think that there is going... Has there been any movement with the applicant in regards to what they've listened to regarding the representations?
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Acting Mayor, we've given a summary of those representations to the applicant. We've also discussed with them the concerns that we've had. We've had a peer review of the application as well. Some of the matters that came up in the park and rides and that will come up again in the roundabout application will probably not be able to discuss because it's not covered by the planning scheme. Strangely, not unlike the park and rides, the planning scheme doesn't recognise what a park and ride is. The planning scheme also doesn't recognise very well a roundabout application. It does have provisions in the scheme about roads, but it's very light on. It sort of talks about Australian standards and things like that. And when you get the report, you'll see this actually goes over, I believe it's 5 zones, but a lot of them aren't relevant, so because it just clips part of it. For example, a general residential zone, and it clips, but then you have to do a whole assessment as if it's a building, which we'll deal with. We'll try and make it as easy to read in the council report, that there will be elements in there, like we did for the park and ride, explaining this isn't a planning matter. However, we may have a small comment in there just to help the members of the public understand where their representation sits in that decision making.
Thank you very much for that. The next one's in regards to the subdivision application. If we could have more information in regards to where that is at.
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, as per the report, we sent a request for further information to the applicant in January. I haven't got the date there, but it was not long after.
February.
10th of February. And to date, we haven't heard anything from them. Under the legislation, they have 2 years to reply to a request for further information, but we haven't had any indication from them about their approach, their timing, or their intentions.
Thank you. And with that as well, from the last conversations we've had, we don't know at what stage the social or affordable housing will be. Is that correct? Like it could be stage 4. We don't know if it's stage 1.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. The application is for subdivision, not for housing. It'll be up to the applicant to do the housing applications following the subdivision application.
Thank you. The comment in regards to the planning appeal update, the 36 Jenkins Street, could we please have some more information in regards to that?
Ms. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. 36 Jenkins Street, which was for a unit development, was approved by the Planning Authority at a council meeting. The representors chose to appeal that to the tribunal. Their main concerns were around privacy and overlooking, and the application did in fact meet the requirements of the planning scheme, but the applicant made an effort to address the concerns and did that through mediation by submitting amended plans where they've relocated one of the dwellings. So it was all on consent agreement. Everyone had in fact signed the consent agreement, all the parties, including council, but the tribunal deemed that the changes were too significant and said that they couldn't go through that process, that they would need to lodge a fresh application with council, and they've now done that. So the application on its new layout and design will go through the same process of being advertised, assessed, and if there's representations, come back to the council chamber.
Thank you very much, and just to thank you for the update in regards to the progress of the work on the 2019 planning review recommendations.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Do we have any other councillors who would like to make a contribution on the quarterly report? I had a couple of questions in relation to the Huntingfield residential development in terms of the inclusion of shared paths and pocket paths. It is noted in the report that the proposal includes shared paths and pocket paths. I was just wondering, so are these paths generally in line with the master plan that was put out to the community for consultation? Ms. Tyler Moore?
Yes, Deputy Mayor, those they are generally in accordance with that master plan that came to us, but it's worth noting that that master plan is not an endorsed master plan. It's not a master plan that's been submitted for endorsement, so it doesn't hold any particular authority, and there's not a requirement for them to comply with it.
Thank you. Is there any mechanism available to council to ensure that the shared paths and pocket paths are completed? Ms. Tylemore?
In response to Deputy Mayor, Acting Mayor, if they appear on the endorsed plans once we make a decision and it appears that there's paths, roads or other infrastructure, yes, they have to build it in accordance with that. It's a requirement of the permit. If they chose not to, they would need to apply to amend that planning approval, and we would have a decision making around that. And they've referred to this as stage one, but in saying that, it's not actually a stage one because they haven't applied for all the other stages. We're just looking at it as a subdivision on its own, so there'll be components in that will have to be delivered before we seal the plan. So we put conditions on the permit that say prior to the sealing of plans, you must deliver public infrastructure or the roads or offsets or whatever other requirements there are.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley, would you like to sum up? No? We have before us the Development Services Quarterly Report, moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Reach. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The report, quarterly report is noted and carried unanimously. That brings us now to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Do I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Fox moved, Councillor Bastone seconds. Sorry, I'm just catching up. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Council will move into closed session for confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, tender assessment, TS2888 Algona Road stormwater relining works and 98 Beach Road Kingston proposed lease to Rain and Horn. So that brings us to the end of the open session of council at 7:13 p.m. Thank you to those who attended in person and those listening at home.